you look at verse 1 about that. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. In other words, put off the old man. Put aside all these things and come as newborn babe. Put off the old man. Come in the new man. It's a newborn desire. No longer all those old things. All the old things are passed away. It's no longer a desire that comes out of the old man. None of the old man is present or involved in this newborn desire for God's word. Any aspect of the old man will corrupt that desire. Pride will corrupt that desire. We will read and desire God's word, not for its own sake, not for our spiritual growth, but out of pride. We want to show off how much we know, how many verses we've memorized. Not out of a sense of self-importance. This desire is not colored or corrupted by self-importance. I know so much about God's word. That makes me more holy than other people. None of these things. It doesn't come out of any kind of competition to appear more holy than others, to know more intellectually than others. All these old things are put aside. It's a newborn, pure desire for God's word. And we have a very good negative example for us in the Pharisees, the Jews of Jesus' day. We'll turn to John chapter 5. See how they had a desire for God's word. They studied God's word. They knew a lot about God's word. But it was not a pure desire. It was not this kind of newborn desire. It was not the desire of a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Look at John chapter 5. And let's just read verses 38 to 40. These are the words of Jesus speaking to the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, and so on. John chapter 5, verses 38 to 40, and I'll read this for us. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. They studied the word of God very fervently. They gave a whole lot of their time to reading and memorizing, knowing the word of God. And yet Jesus says, you have not the word of God in you. It's not abiding in you. And he tells them to search the scriptures, which is in a sense what they had been doing, but not really, not purely. Their desire when they came to the word of God was not really to know the word of God, not really to draw nearer to God. It was not the pure desire of a newborn child for his Heavenly Father. It was a corrupted desire, a desire corrupted by the feelings, the motivations of the old man. That's the example of the Pharisees. They were full of malice, or as Peter says, laying aside malice. But they were full of malice. At the beginning of John chapter 5, just look quickly at verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the seventh day. He had broken the Sabbath in their conception of the Sabbath. And because of that, they sought to slay him. They were full of malice towards him. Not really because he had really broken the law of God, but because he had gone against their old traditions. Because he refused to submit to their man-made traditions. And so they were full of malice towards him. But Peter says, desire as newborn babes, laying aside malice, laying aside guile, laying aside hypocrisy. The desire for the word of God must be pure, must not be corrupted by any of these things. Be careful when you come to the word of God that there is no guile in your heart, no hypocrisy in your heart. You're truly prepared to submit to everything that God's word says, without excuses, without self-justification. Beware that there is no malice in your heart when you come to the word of God. You're full of anger towards another. Laying aside all these things, come with a pure desire, as a newborn, as a new creation in Christ, desire God's will. And just as we have a good negative example in the Pharisees, we have a very good positive example in one of the Pharisees. That's none other than the Apostle Paul. Look Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 tells us about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. How he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He read and studied the Word of God with the same kind of corrupted desire as the rest of the Pharisees. And yet something happened in his conversion. His desire became pure. It became a newborn desire. He put aside all the old things, malice, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. He suddenly desired the Word of God as a newborn. Acts chapter 9. We read that Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, goes to the high priest, wants to go to Damascus and root out all the Christians and bring them bound to Jerusalem. He goes to Damascus, and on the way, there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that is the pure newborn desire. Now he comes to the Lord and says, What will you have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? That is so completely different from how he was before. And how all the other Pharisees were. They never came to Jesus and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? They came to Jesus and said, You should not do this, you should not do that. Our tradition says this, our tradition says that. And they dared to use the word of God. They dared to say, We have Abraham for our father. We obey the law of Moses. You break the law of Moses. They dared to say all these things to Jesus. Their desire was not a pure desire. They wanted the word of God so that they could appear righteous and holy, so that they could lord it over the other people, so that they could tell people what to do. Jesus reveals their heart. He says, they love greetings in the marketplaces. They love the best rooms in the feasts. That's why they study the word of God, so that they can make themselves important, so that they can elevate themselves above other people. And Paul was like that. He hated the Christian. He hated Christ. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, studying the Word of God for all these things. And yet when he was converted, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's the pure newborn desire that all of us must have when we come to the Word of God. When we open the Bible, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What is your word for me? What is your will for me? What do you want me to do with my life? I'm ready to submit to you totally and put aside all envies and evil speakings, all guile and hypocrisy. I have no ulterior motive. My desire is just to know, what does my Heavenly Father want me to do? How does He want me to live my life? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That should be our attitude. To come in the new man with this newborn attitude. Simple desire to hear the word of our Father, the one who saved us, the one who gave us life. What will you have me to do with? The pureness of the desire is seen in the comparison with a newborn baby. Secondly, we see also in this comparison the strength of the desire. How strong the desire should be. A baby's craving for milk is very strong, it's very intense. Baby will not stop crying if it does not get the milk that it needs. Prudence will not stop crying if she does not get the milk. She will go on and on. She will go on and on through the night if she needs to, until her mother wakes up and gives her the milk that she needs. That should be our desire for the Word of God. That kind of intense craving. The psalmist says he meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Day and night he meditates. That should be our desire. We should love the Word of God, love to read it, love to study it, love to hear it. It should be that kind of pure, intense desire. And yet our desire is so feeble by comparison. How many of us have cried through the night because we have not heard the Word of God? How many of us have gone through the day feeling miserable and wretched because we have not read the Word of God? How often when we don't read the Word of God, when we don't study it, we feel nothing. We don't feel like anything is missing. In fact, we have to force ourselves to read the Bible. We have to force ourselves and remind ourselves to study. I don't need to remind Prudence to drink her milk. I don't need to remind her, oh Prudence, it's milk time. She knows, she feels it, she feels that hunger. We should have that same strong feeling for the Word of God, a strong hunger for the Word of God. I have not read it, I have not studied it enough. I need to know more. I want to know what my Father says. We should not be satisfied with hearing the Word of God once a week on Sunday. That's why, thank God that you are here to hear the Word of God. Come to this retreat. Set apart this time to really read and study and learn more of the Word of God. And that desire should continue. It should be a daily thing. Like a baby. Every day, several times a day, the baby needs to feed. How often do we read the Word of God in a day? How often do we study it? How often do we meditate on it? Even if we don't have the Bible in front of us. Does the Word of God fill our mind? Does it fill our hearts? Do we have that kind of strong, intense craving for the Word of God? A pure desire, and also a strong desire for the Word of God. If a baby does not desire milk, something is very wrong. If a baby has no appetite, something is wrong. Take the baby to the doctor. If a Christian has no appetite for the Word of God, something is wrong. We need to see the heavenly physician. Something is wrong with you. You do not have that desire for the Word of God. Having been born again, a new creature in Christ, that desire is immediate and instinctive. It's always present. There is no baby that does not desire more on the day of his or her birth. The same with a Christian. There is no Christian that does not desire the Word of God. On the day of your new birth, you must have a pure and strong desire for the Word of God. So the Apostle Peter compares our desire to the desire of a newborn. As newborn babies, desire. But what should we desire? And here the comparison is with the milk of God's Word. As newborn babes, desire the milk, the sincere milk of God's Word. And milk here, the idea is milk as appropriate nourishment, spiritual food for a spiritual person. Desire the milk of God's Word. Now in Hebrews chapter 5, we have a contrast between milk and meat. And the writer of Hebrews rebukes his readers for not being ready for strong meat. They still need milk. They are still babies. They are not ready for strong meat. But that's not the idea here in 1 Peter chapter 2. The idea is not to contrast milk with meat. The idea is simply milk as appropriate nourishment for you as a spiritual person. Desire the milk of God's Word because it's what you need to grow spiritually. The same way that a baby needs milk to grow physically, you as newborn babes in Christ need milk to grow spiritually. You need God's Word to grow spiritually. Milk as appropriate nourishment. God's Word as appropriate food for our souls. Appropriate spiritual food. And here the idea is that babies should be desiring milk and not other things. You would not feed Coca-Cola to a baby. I would never feed Coca-Cola to Prudence. It's not good for her. It's not appropriate for her. It's not nourishing to her. It's not healthy for her. So Christians should desire this spiritual food, nourishing, healthy food, the Word of God, and not inappropriate things, not unhealthy things, or harmful things, not worldly things, in other words, not carnal things. The desire should be for the milk of God's Word. And if I may say this, if I may make this comparison, desire the milk of God's Word, not the Coca-Cola of worldly entertainment, worldly feelings and emotions that are stirred up by this kind of worldly entertainment. Worldly philosophy as well. And the danger is in our time, especially these things are creeping into the church. It's no longer the milk of God's Word that's being given to God's people. It's worldly entertainment. It's music, dancing. It's worldly philosophy. It's self-help books coming into the church. They're being given Christian titles, being promoted by so-called Christian pastors, being given Christian, a little bit of Christian vocabulary here and there. But it's still the philosophy of the world. It's not milk anymore. It's been adulterated. It's not the milk of God's Word. but we should desire the milk of God's word. Baby will desire the pure milk that is necessary for its growth. A Christian will desire the pure word of God that is necessary for your spiritual growth. And that's the idea here when the Apostle Peter says, the sincere milk, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Sincere as in without deceit. Sincere as in unmixed, unadulterated. The pure, sincere milk of God's word. But somehow today people don't want that anymore. People want worldly things. People want entertaining things. People go to church not to be fed with God's word, but to be entertained, to be tickled. We find that more and more in our time. And this is prophesied for us by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy. We turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's read from verses 1 to 4. Let's read these four verses together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Let's read these verses together.
Charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, correct, for all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
This is a prophecy. In those times, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul charges Timothy, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The word, doctrine, this is what the people of God need. And yet, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not desire the sincere milk of the word anymore. They will want teachers that tickle their ears. They want to hear things that please them, things that satisfy them. They want to hear things that justify them in their sinful ways. That's what people will be like. That's the characteristic that we see in our times. They will turn away from the truth. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Fables, worldly philosophies, worldly thinking. This is what people want. But it's not what the true child of God wants. Our desire must be for the pure, sincere milk of God's word. I'm not interested in hearing just what tickles my fancy. I'm not interested in hearing things just to please myself, just to make me feel good about myself, just so I can soothe my conscience and then go on the rest of the week in my sinful ways. That's not why we come to the Word of God. That's not what we desire from the Word of God. We desire the sincere milk of the Word, pure, unmixed with worldly philosophy, unmixed with worldly entertainment, unmixed with worldly justification of sin. The sincere book of God's word. What does God really say? Remember the same attitude of Paul. What wilt thou have me to do? Give it to me purely, without anything else. Just the word of God. How does my Heavenly Father want me to live? And I will do that. That's the pure, strong desire for the pure, sincere book of God's word. That is what we desire. We come desiring the sincere book of God's word in all our reading and all our study. What does God's word really say? What does God really say to me? I'm ready to accept it, ready to submit to it. No ulterior motive. That is what we desire. And finally, why do we desire? Why do we desire the word of God? We see that at the end of verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We desire God's word firstly because of our future growth, because it is what is needed for us to grow spiritually. babies desire milk because they know instinctively that they need milk to grow. We desire God's Word because we know it is necessary for our spiritual growth. Without God's Word, we cannot grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. This is God's ordained means for us to grow. We grow in knowledge of His nature. We grow in knowledge of His will. And these things are revealed to us in His Word. We don't find God's will revealed to us anywhere else as clearly, as truly, as purely, as effectively as in God's Word. Because that is His intention for us. He gave us the Word of God so that we can grow spiritually. It's His ordained means for our growth. We grow in conformity to the likeness of Christ when we come with that pure, strong desire for the pure and sincere milk of the Word. When we have that pure desire, when we are fed with the sincere milk of God's Word, then we grow. We grow thereby. So the first reason why we desire God's Word is so that we can grow. Our future growth. The second reason is because of our past experience. We desire the sincere milk of God's Word because of our future growth and because of our past experience. So in verse 3 of our text, the Apostle Peter says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you will desire the milk of His Word." If you have tasted. When have you tasted the grace of God? When was the first time you tasted the grace of God? Is it not the day you were saved? The day you heard, believed, and accepted, and submitted to the gospel? Did you not taste the grace of God in that day? If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, look back at verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Here the Apostle Peter says, "We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." It is that same word by which we were born again. That same word, the gospel, by which we first tasted the grace of God. And that's the idea here. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, surely you want more. That first taste by which you became a newborn babe, surely you want more. Surely you are not satisfied with just that one taste of God's grace. You want to know more. Now that you are saved, you have tasted the grace of God, surely you want to know more about this God who saved you by His grace. You want to know more about what this God wants you to do with this new life that you now have. You have tasted the grace of God. There's so much more to learn. How can you stop there? It's not possible. A newborn babe will never stop at just one taste. They want more because they need it and they love it. It is that first taste of the grace of God that strengthens, that quickens us, and makes us desire more. It's so natural for a baby to desire more. It's so natural for a Christian to desire God's Word. You've tasted the gospel, you've seen how good it is, you've seen how amazing and wonderful God is. There is so much more to learn of Him here in His Word. He's given us so much information. How can we satisfy ourselves? How can we fool ourselves and say it's enough? And I know the gospel, that's it. I don't need to know anymore. Now I can go on with the rest of my life. I never need to open the Bible again. The gospel is enough. It cannot be. If you have tasted the grace of God, you will naturally have a strong desire to know more. What does God want me to do now? Who is He? How can I know more of Him? How can I draw nearer to Him? How can I pray better? How can I serve Him better? All these things, they are very natural desires. The gospel opens our eyes to a whole new spiritual reality. It opens our eyes to all these things, and we can never be satisfied with just a taste. We will desire more. We desire God's Word because it is what makes us grow, and because we have already tasted it. We have already tasted how good and how sweet it is, and we want to know more. But if you have no desire for more, then the question is whether you have really tasted it at all, whether you have really been born again, whether you really have that newborn desire, as a newborn desire for God's will. So that is three questions. How do we desire? We desire as a newborn baby. With a pure desire, with a strong desire, like that of a baby for God. What do we desire? We desire the sincere work of God's will, unadulterated, unmixed with worldly entertainment, worldly philosophies, anything of the world, anything carnal. We want the pure, sincere work of God's will. And why do we desire? Because it is necessary for our growth, and because we have already tasted it. We have tasted the grace of God. And so I'll conclude with just one final observation, and that is our part in this whole process. I want us to consider and realize how simple it is. The Apostle Peter says, desire, desire that he may grow. And I think that's interesting. He doesn't say, study that he may grow. He doesn't say, pass exams that he may grow. He just says, desire that he may grow. Our part in this is just to desire. And again, it's a very close analogy with the baby. Prudence's part is her growth. What does prudence do that helps her to grow? She cries. Like that, exactly. That's all she does. And somehow, when she cries, she grows. Why? Why does she grow when she cries? Not because of anything she does. Because of what we do. Mainly because of what the end does. When prudence cries, she gets fed. Her part is just to desire. The parents do everything. The parents feed the baby. The parents mix the food. We recently bought, or was given to us as a gift, a steamer blender, which both steams and blends the food. It's a very fancy device. It steams, and then you turn it over and it blends. My wife likes it very much. It helps to make the food. But prudence doesn't need to know how to operate the machine. She doesn't need to know all the intricacies. She doesn't need to know the details. She doesn't even need to know the name of what food we're giving her. Her part is just to desire. She desires it. She cries for it. And the parents do. If you desire God's word, can you not be assured that He will feed you? Is He not even a much better father than I am or anyone else? Will He not feed you? You don't need to know all the details. You don't need to pass all the exams first. He will help you. He will feed you. He will cause you to grow. He will help you to understand. Your part and my part is just to desire it as a baby, as that pure, strong desire. Our Heavenly Father will not fail to feed us. He will not fail to cause us to grow if we have that desire. Desire as newborn babes, that he may grow. God will do the rest. God will teach you. God will open your eyes. God will help you to understand. You just desire it. Just cry out to Him. Tell Him you want to know His will. Ask Him, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Surely He will show you. He will not fail. It's we who fail. We fail to desire God's will. We fail to need it, to crave it. We fail to recognize how necessary it is, how beautiful it is. We don't have the desire that we want to be. That's why we don't grow. Failure is not on God's part. It's on our part. He feeds us, but we don't want to be fed. So if we have that desire, we have that pure and strong desire, we will grow. Desire as newborn babes. And you will grow thereby. Desire the word of God purely. Desire it with the intensity of a newborn crying for milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word. You will grow thereby. May the Lord help us. Let's close with a word. Father in heaven, how we thank Thee for Thy amazing word, inspired. Preserve every child. Not one of your words has ever failed. Your word continues and remains to this day and for eternity. You have given us this precious gift, this sincere milk for our growth, for our blessing and benefit. We ask for Thy forgiveness for our lack of desire for Thy word. We have not esteemed Thy word as we ought to. We we have not loved it and desired it as we ought. Please help us to grow and to change. Fill our hearts with this pure and strong desire for the milk of thy word, so that we can grow. Help us to see more as we study. Open our eyes to see wondrous and beautiful things out of thy word. Help us to grow. Surely you will not fail as a father. For we have often failed in our children. You never fail. So help us as we grow in our desire for thy word. Help us to grow spiritually. Help us to grow nearer to thee. To be better servants of thine. Pray for thy blessing on all those here. For all in the ladies' fellowship as we go on with this retreat. That they will be fed from thy word. That they will truly grow. Become better witnesses for thee in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.